Hey everyone, Christy McClellan here, and I want to invite you to a brand new event from Lifeway Women called Feast. At this event, you'll be invited to feast on God's Word by studying the Bible in its historical, cultural context. We're going to get to know the Bible in its world, in its native habitat, text, and context. You'll experience teaching, worship led by my 25-year friend Laura Cooksey, and fellowship with other women around the world. Come and learn with me that the living God is better than we ever knew. Visit lifeway.com/feast to learn more.
This is Elizabeth, and we are dropping an extra episode today to make sure you know about some other Lifeway podcasts that we think you would enjoy. Today, we are sharing an episode of The Karen Kingsbury Show. We thought you would enjoy this storytelling podcast, and this is episode one, so you can start at the beginning.
Hey guys, this is Ryan Groh with Lifeway Films, and recently I had the pleasure of watching Someone Like You, which is a film by Karen Kingsbury, and I was blown away. This film really illustrated some beautiful concepts that are really packaged in a gospel-centric framework. You're going to walk out of the theater feeling good, encouraged in your faith, and really this movie helps provide a framework for forgiveness and walking through tough times. So if you get a chance, I would encourage you, go to someonelikeyou.movie, and while you're there, sign up for Karen's A-List. You can purchase tickets, learn more about the movie, see the trailer. That's someonelikeyou.movie. I think you'll really enjoy this film.
Welcome to the show. I'm Karen Kingsbury, and I have told a million stories, but I've never told mine. Not until now, and that's why we are doing this podcast. These 16 episodes will give you a lot more of my heart, my soul, and the things that have made me laugh and cry over the years. Starting with this one, how I broke the Bible, why I broke the Bible, and how something so terrible might have ever come from me. I don't know. It's crazy. Here today is my very special guest, my husband, the love of my life, Donald Russell.
Hello. I'm so glad that I get to be here with you. I'm excited.
Even rehashing something so awful as breaking your Bible.
Yeah, right? But now we can laugh about it now.
We can laugh about it now a little bit, but you know, it's still one of those things. I mean, we can be thankful for where God took me from that place. And I want to hear more about what you thought when that happened, but it didn't start there. Started back in 1986. I'd graduated from college and graduated with my degree in journalism. And now I was a sports writer. And that was weird because I'd never played sports. I swam. I think I ran track so I could be around the cute guys. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
I think I did long jump. Like, silly. It wasn't anything practical in sports ways. But I became a sports writer, and when I met you, that's what I was, and I think that was one of the reasons you fell in love with me.
No.
No, you liked the sideline passes. That was fun.
I thought it was neat, though, yes.
Yeah, that was a fun thing. Anyway, so that was 1986, and it was the fall, and it was at Racquetball World.
Yes.
You were working out. Why were you working out at night?
Well, I used to go in the morning.
Yeah.
I like to, as you know, I'm a morning person, and I used to go in the morning, but my roommate at the time, I think his car or something. He needed a ride.
So you wound up doing an evening workout instead of a morning workout. Now, I always worked out at night, so there I was, and I was on the exercise bike and usually would ride that bike for like an hour. And I kept noticing this cute guy that kept passing by and smiling at me. And I thought, do I know him? He sort of looks familiar, but he's pretty cute. And then you were working out, and I got to – that was my view, is watching you work out. And I thought, well, actually, he's very cute, very handsome. And you kept getting thirsty and going to the water fountain, the drinking fountain.
Well, because I saw it in your eyes. But the first thing I saw was, wow, look at her eyes. They're beautiful. And I think we had eye contact as I was walking by. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I had to keep getting a drink every 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And you were riding that bike for a long time. So yes. It was an opportunity to keep going by. And
you know, I was like sitting there thinking, and this is me. Now, I'm not a believer at that point. And I was listening to sad songs on my headphones and just thinking about the breakup I'd had, which had been several months earlier, and wondering, who is the guy going to ever be for me? I mean, it's L.A., and I was not a party girl. I didn't do the whole drinking or any of the drug things that so many people were doing back then, you know, in the 80s.
The 80s, yes.
Oh, it was such a drug time. I guess it still is, but it's different drugs. But anyway, so I wasn't that girl, and I just didn't know how I would ever meet someone. And then you came up, and you started chatting, and we connected. We were laughing and finding common ground, friends we knew in common, mm-hmm. and I remember partway through, I don't know, maybe we closed the place down.
Well, yes, I was going to say they eventually said, hey, we have to get out of the lobby.
Yeah.
We got kicked out of the gym, and then we hung out in the lobby.
Right.
And then eventually they were like, we're locking the place up.
And we sat on the curb.
Sat on the curb outside.
Yeah, we did. And you had, you know, you didn't have a car, so you had jogged there.
I had jogged there.
And that was unusual for me because at that point I said, well, hey, I'll give you a ride home. And I knew you at that point a little, and we had some friends, but that was weird for me. I did not just give rides to people. And I gave you a ride back to your apartment. And then before you got out of the car, you said, can I have your phone number? And, you know, I would really love to take you on a date. And I said, yeah, that would be great. And then you were like, big breath, but if it's okay, can I please bring my Bible? I thought maybe we could read the Bible before, you know, going to the movies.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, that is the weirdest thing I have ever heard in my entire life, like a Bible on the date. What were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking, first, as soon as the words left my mouth, I thought, oh, no, she's just going to say no. But the story behind that is I wasn't raised in a church. We went once in a while to a denominational church, and at that point in my life, I just thought there's something more to life than just, you know, getting up. And I was still in school and working. So going to school, working, it was like the Lord, how the Bible says the Lord calls everybody. And I had believed in God all my life, but I definitely was not living for him. I was doing the worldly stuff. But like you, I wasn't into drugs or going out drinking every night. And so I was a good person, mm-hmm. but not measuring up to what God wanted. So I really wanted my life to evolve around God and his word and Jesus. And I saw in my family the divorce rates are high, and not just my family, but friends, you know, people all over. And I just, like I said, I thought there's got to be something more. Right. And so I was like, I've done that little game where you go and you flirt. You see someone, you flirt all the time. And I just thought, okay, this is the one. She could be the one, just something about you. I don't know. So I just wanted to present, okay, this is me, but I'm going to pursue who this Jesus guy is, and that's going to be me. And you either accepted it or you didn't.
I love that you were at like a tipping point in your life.
I was.
And you and I were both raised, you know, with the denominational faith. So occasionally Christmas or, you know, Easter, we would go to church, but we'd never opened Bibles separately. This was our story coming to this point, is that, you know, we'd each had these long-term relationships, we'd each gone through a breakthrough, and then we believed in God, but we'd never even opened a Bible. So we both come to that moment in some ways in the same place, but I was miles behind you because you had reached that tipping point where, you know what, I don't care if this person turns around, if this girl turns around and walks away. That's what mm-hmm. it is, because God has a different plan.
Right.
I felt that way about you, too, that, like, in that moment, you know, they say, like, love at first sight, but it was that feeling. And I think a lot of it was because of your clean nature, because you weren't a party guy. And truly, in L.A., anytime, like, but, you know, it felt like, especially back then, people were just crazy. I didn't want crazy. You know, I wanted someone with compassion and someone genuine, sincere. And I could see that in you. And the fact that the guy that I had broken up with had been a real drinker, and we were that's what broke us up. I couldn't handle it, the way he drank. And it was just too much. So meeting you and knowing you didn't drink, I was like, this guy, like, that's amazing. Now, again, you wanting to bring a Bible to the date was the weirdest thing. I felt very uncomfortable, but that was conviction, and that was there's the spiritual battle that was happening. Mm-hmm. But I also thought, you know, there could be a lot worse things that you would bring on our first date. Like, you might wanted to bring drugs, or you might have been, you know, thinking you're just going to have a one-night stand, and that wouldn't have been me either. So the fact that you wanted to bring a Bible, I thought, okay, I'm going to give this guy a chance.
Give me a shot.
Just give you a shot. It's like, anyone to lose you right off the bat. Yeah, so, you know, a couple days later, it's Friday night, and my parents, who also have not opened a Bible at that point, are like, he's bringing what? Like, I think they were looking out the window, like, is he coming on a bike or what's that? Is he, you know, what is it? What, why does he carry a Bible everywhere? It was so strange to us. And, you know, it is to the world. It's foreign to the world.
Well, and it was, quote, strange to me, too. Like, after I said it, you drove away, I can remember thinking, well, I blew that one. And, but at the same time, I could feel like God going, keep going, you know, keep going.
Don't give up on her yet. Don't.
So I felt confident, and yet I felt, you know, if you look at it, you know, you step back and you go, wow, that was kind of a dorky thing to do.
Like, well, it's funny. At that point, you know, you were taking some college classes and doing some acting in L.A., and you had done the Solaflex commercial, and my goodness, like, I can see where you would have confidence. Like, you were, like, honestly, the best-looking guy I had ever seen in L.A., that's for sure, anywhere. And so when you came to the house for the date, I was like, wow, he is so handsome. And there was that Bible under your arm. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to be patient with this Bible thing. So you wanted to read Philippians 4, and me, no idea what a Philippian is from any Ippian. I'm like, what is a Philippian? I don't know. And you started reading, and it was beautiful, but it was so uncomfortable for me. And I think you took a small, like, breath. And I said, are we good? Can we check that box? We've read the Bible now. Can we move on and go to the date? And so I could see a little disappointment. What did you think? Because I cut us off.
Well, I mean, I was a little disappointed, but then I thought at the same time, and like I said, it was new to me. I just thought, well, okay. I mean, she listened for a little bit, and I can remember praying in my mind that your heart would become open. Mm. I can remember that plainly, leaning against that, you know, little wall there by the front door.
Yeah.
And so I just prayed in my mind that you would open your heart sometime.
Yeah. Well, it was a prayer that worked eventually, but not right away, because we had about 2 to 3 months then where we dated, and we dated through the holidays and laughed and had so much fun and flirted. And it was such a great time. You took me to the beach. We had a first kiss at the beach, I remember, at Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
We were chatting and we were just watching the waves. It was sunset and I was looking to the right. And then when I turned to the left, all of a sudden we were having the kiss, our first kiss. So it was wonderful. But every time you kept bringing up that Bible and you would want to read it, and I would just feel like, my goodness, can we just be done? Because part of it was the conviction of the Holy Spirit that what you were sharing, you didn't mean it this way, but what you were sharing was speaking to my worldly ways and my worldly thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, at that point, you know, I had sort of that mindset that you get, you know, if you don't have Jesus, you have a set of beliefs. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a set of beliefs, right?
Yes.
So you walk around and you think, well, I believe you should be able to have sex before you're married as long as you love someone. Or I believe, whatever the I believes are, they're groundless. I mean, they mean nothing without the authority of our Heavenly Father. There's nothing to
them. And yet we hang on to those.
We think
almost to the point of anger, right?
Yeah,
if somebody,
I know.
Who are you? You know.
Yeah, it's like, well, that's what I believe. You know?
Right.
And today that's kind of
you have your
worse.
Beliefs and I have mine.
And today they call it, you know, my truth, your truth.
Oh, yes.
As if there could possibly be conflicting and equally, you know, possibly right truth. That's not even, there's no way that could even happen. But anyway, I was contentious for sure. And I think we got all the way to January. And one day, it was like a cool afternoon. We met at the park. We played tennis at the park sometimes. And we were talking and you brought out your Bible again. And I think it was 2 Thessalonians, but it was, the word spoke so clearly to me that the kind of the denominational faith and my sort of, I don't know, just sort of plastic way of looking at faith. Like it was a very shallow, you know, I even told you, I think up front, like, you know, I believe in God, but I'm not religious. And today I would say Jesus is everything to me and the word of God is everything to me and I'm not religious. Like it's a relationship. But back then I kind of was more embarrassed. Like, I'm too cool for it. Like, it's not something for me. And it was just the world. I was completely worldly. Even though I was a good girl, I was still very worldly. Good, you know, only in the world's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So we stand there and you're sharing this beautiful verse with me. And then I just have had it. And I just, like, I'm not a person who gets angry.
No, not at all.
You know, I have other flaws, many of them, but I don't have anger or rage like that. And I just took that Bible and I threw it hard down onto the ground. Binding of the Bible splits in two, and it lies there on the ground in two pieces.
Yes. And I had highlighted that Bible. That was the Bible. That was my, quote, first Bible.
Yeah.
Where I was really reading and trying to, you know, who is Jesus? And finding out how much he loves us and what he's done. And so I highlighted. And I remember thinking, wow.
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 I mean, there was no way to fix it. You know, you picked up the pieces. And what were you thinking? You could have yelled at me. You could have, but you just got, you picked up the pieces and left.
Well, what I was thinking, because you didn't know, but earlier I had been praying because the lease was coming up on my apartment. And I was thinking, I'm going to move. And then I had met you. And should I, you know, lease again for another year? And I thought, well, you know what? If we click, if this is going to happen, then great. I'll sign a lease. And my thought was, okay, there's my answer. Thank you, Lord. There's my answer.
Yeah.
She's
you
not the one.
You prayed that day? That was that same day? That
I can't say it was that same day, but around that time, definitely.
You were looking for a sign
was,
from
right.
God.
Yeah. And so I just said,
that's
okay,
that's
she's not the one, sadly, because
like
I said, we had so much in common, we had so much fun, and I just thought, okay, I'm not going to, you know, why get angry, why, I was disappointed, but that's why I couldn't really say anything to you, because, you know, what am I going to say, well, because you did that in a movie, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You were, I felt you were really mature. And it was like a confidence that was a beautiful, quiet confidence of like, now it makes sense, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were praying that. It's like, okay. So you picked up the pieces. I don't even know if you said goodbye. You just kind of gave me a look, and you got in the car, and you, your own car, and drove away. We had both our cars there. Then I stood there, and I thought, surely the earth is going to open, and I am going to be the first one on the down staircase to hell, because you cannot throw the Bible to defend your beliefs and break it in half and think you're not going to be punished. Like, I thought lightning was going to come from heaven. I also felt like still there possibly my beliefs were maybe right, but I didn't have any way to defend them because I didn't know the word. So I couldn't open it to any certain chapter or verse. It's a lot of pages in the Bible, and defend what I was believing. I couldn't do that. So I thought, all right, I know what I'm going to do. All my life, I had passed this bookstore, this crazy little small bookstore, and I never went in. I mean, literally for a decade, that, you know, at that point, what I was 23, so, you know, as long as I could remember.
Right.
There was this store, and I never, I always got a weird feeling from it, like, what is that? It's different. It was a Christian bookstore.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, of course, there's the devil doesn't want you to go there.
Right.
It's like, that's where you're going to find
hope.
It's
weird. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
So, yeah, I went ahead and drove there, and I thought, I know what I'm going to do, and I went in, and I found somebody, a frontliner, a worker, who was ready to help. She said, can I help you? And I said, yes. I would like a Bible in English with no these and thous, and I would like to have some way to look up words so that I can find what's in the Bible. And she said, I got you. So she led me, you know, to the NIV Bible, got me one of those, and then a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and handed those, you know, to me. I bought them, and I'm carrying them out, and these aren't, there's no apps, you know, so I'm just like carrying them out to the car. They're heavy. And I sit in the car, and I think, you know what? I'm just going to look it up now, right here in the parking lot. So I begin looking up things that I think will be there. Within minutes, and very clearly, I heard the voice of God for the first time. Mm. It was as clear as if he were sitting right there beside me. And he said, you know, Karen, you can either fall away with your man-made beliefs, or you can grab onto my word and never let go. And in that moment, I grabbed on as hard as I could. The words were clear. They were lovingly, like, screaming to me off the page, like, I'm here. I love you. These words are not old. They're not outdated. They are for you today. And I'd never seen that. It was just like, literally like it was a Road to Damascus
moment. I was going to say, like a palm moment.
It was. Like the scales fell off my eyes. And I know I cried. And I thought, Lord, I'm sorry. Like, I apologized to him. And then I called you. Because, I mean, we, you know, to us, it's like part of our story. And we kind of say, wow, can you believe it? Like, I started my adventure of faith by breaking the Bible in half. And we do kind of laugh about it now, but it isn't funny. You know, it is one of those things, the Word of God, it's precious and it's holy. And I was very, very, very sorry and very convicted.
And I think, and we've talked about this before, that it makes us, we'll meet people that we love, you know, and some people we don't even know, but we'll meet them and they're kind of hostile towards the Word and you understand why.
Yeah.
You know, because all of us, until the Lord actually gets in our heart, we have our own opinions, our own truths, and we get angry and mad. But now we can understand that.
Yeah, I was humbled. You know, and I'm a confident person. And I have a lot of ideas and I'm very creative. And when I set a goal, I try to achieve it. You know, I mean, I'm that kind of a person, oldest, you know, of five kids. And in that moment, I was on the ground humbled. I was so sorry. And I was just like, wow, Lord, this is a beginning. I could tell it was a beginning. And so I called you. I apologized. What did you think? I mean, what were you? I'd like to know how you felt, honestly. How did you feel when you picked up the Bible, got in the car, and left between that moment and when I called and apologized, which was at least hours?
Well, like I said, I just was – my mindset was okay. I was sad. I wasn't, you know, crying or anything
right.
about it.
You start packing?
But I didn't start packing. I just – but in my mind, I was already okay. Where am I going to move? What's my next move? What's going on?
Right.
So when you called and you said you were sorry, I was just like, you know, when I get excited,
yes.
I do it. I make that sound.
I love it.
Like it's
yeah. For you, if you don't know, this is the sound that my husband makes when he is so excited. So he is just so overwhelmed and so happy. Then he just.
But I didn't do that on the phone. But
yeah, he didn't do it on the phone. But like, now we all know, like, if Dad's excited.
Right. So I was really excited. And I can remember going, wow, Lord, you know. As you grow in your faith, sometimes the Lord answers prayers, yes, no, sometimes wait. Sometimes he waits to the last minute.
Right.
And that's, for me, as a new believer, that was like, okay, I prayed about stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it was this way, and I didn't fight him or curse at him, or I just let it go, and look what happened.
Yeah, the Lord is so good. He's so good. I know some verses in that time, like in those weeks that followed, and just following, we began looking for a church. We, you know, we didn't find that yet, but at this early point of just being in love with God's word, just letting his word wash over me and fill me and speak to me and change me, it was so beautiful. And I memorized and fell in love with Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the attitudes and thoughts of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what I felt. I realized that some of the ways I'd been feeling toward the Bible, the antagonism that I had, was all because he was judging the thoughts and attitudes of my heart.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the Word.
Right.
In John 1:1, it talks about the Word was with God and the Word was God.
Right.
And so that's, as you said, that's why it's so, think about it. When you want to read the Bible, I can't, I'm tired. We get so tired, or the kids come in, or something happens. Satan does everything he can to keep us away from the Word.
Yeah.
And we don't realize, them, especially in our blindness, that there's an enemy out there.
Yeah.
And once you accept the Lord and read his word and he opens up, then you go, oh, and it's hard.
Yeah.
But at least you go, oh, I get it now. It is a, just like the Bible says, a spiritual battle.
It is. And it speaks to you. The more time you spend in the word, the more you have peace and the more, you know, you feel that closeness to God, no matter what's going on and no matter how difficult life is. I know, with our life, I just want to compliment you that you have always stayed in love with Jesus and his word. You've always done that. And on the first morning after we were married on our honeymoon, we sat there at that little table in that hotel room and we read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You said, let's read the word together. And no, we don't read the word every day together, but we're in the word every day. And we do read together, of course, and I love that you bring that up. You know, you'll say, it's been a while. It's been days. You know, let's open the Bible together versus just separately. But it has become, and it has always been, the rock of our family and our marriage. And it's where we find truth, and it's where we base our decisions on. And that's because of you. So I just, you know, you were that handsome guy that was unlike any LA guy that I had ever met. And you had this deep love for God, and you were not going to waver, and you still don't waver. And I just really appreciate that about you, honey.
Thank you.
I do. I love it. And you didn't give up on me. And, you know, years later, nearly 20 years later, that would be my choice then, not to give up on my brother. You remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Dave was my brother. Dave, I only have one brother, you know, three sisters, one brother. And Dave was, he was so mean. He was so angry. He was 6'6". I remember in high school once, he turned a desk over. He got mad at a teacher and turned over the teacher's desk. Like, that's, you know, he could have been arrested probably. He had been a tow truck driver. Everything Dave ever wanted to do, all of his dreams, it seems like they didn't happen. And he took a different turn, like a bad turn.
Unfortunately, he did what a lot of people do. Just, you kind of give up. You kind of go, okay, I'm trying to feel this thing out.
And just stewing the anger.
Yes. And the anger builds and builds and builds. And, you know, the cynicism. And,
And he would be, he'd get in fights with my parents because they would want to know, what are you doing? And why don't you take some classes? Or, you know, and he became a tow truck driver. And he was good at that. He was strong and big guy. Mm-hmm. But when he'd get mad, he'd hit the wall and put his fist through it, rip a door off the hinges. I remember he did that in his bedroom. And I was scared of him, honestly. He was just a big guy. I was very scared of him. He was unhappy, miserable. But you remember part of that was because he saved the life of two girls. He was a tow truck driver on New Year's Eve. He was getting some cars towed out of an area, and two girls walked up to ask a question about directions. Dave saw a drunk driver literally coming right toward them. The driver had his head down on the wheel, asleep, or drunk, or passed out. So in a quick moment, Dave grabs the girls, twists his body to the right, throws the girls onto the grass, and he takes the hit. And because of that, he was in massive pain. So, you know, by the time you got to know Dave and you came into our lives, he was on pain meds. I mean, he was addicted to opioids. Now, he didn't abuse them in quantity, but just time.
Just years.
Years of use, because he would, if he didn't have one in his system, I can see him now like holding onto a table and just like shaking, trying to keep his balance because his back hurts so bad and sweat dripping down his face and just shaking out of pain. So given that, I mean, I can see that that was, you know, life was hard for Dave, and I tried to develop some compassion for him. And what God put on my heart was that in the story of your life, you have one cast of characters. You're the highlight. You're my Prince Charming, of course. But there's a cast, and there's some that we love spending time with, and some are more difficult. But they are the people that God has placed in your story. And that's the one that matters, the story you're writing with the days of your life. So one day in 2005, I got a phone call, and it was Dave. And by then, like, I think we'd given him, you know, six Bibles, you know, 10 Christian CDs at the time. And one of them was, I'm sure, Mercy Me, you know, those kinds of Christian music, trying to get his attention. Like, Dave, the answer is Jesus.
Well, and usually he only called if he wanted to borrow some money or he needed help with something. He never called just to say hi or how are you.
Right. Yeah, so the phone rings and I look at caller ID and it's Dave. And I like, oh, maybe I won't answer it. And I could hear God again, that still small voice, say, you answer the phone. Don't you give up on him. Donald didn't give up on you. Don't you give up on him. And so I answered the phone, and blaring in the background, I can still hear it, Mercy Me's song, I Can Only Imagine. Mm-hmm. And Dave says, Karen, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe what happened, but I found this song, I Can Only Imagine. I'm like, yeah, I probably gave it to you 5 years ago. He goes, no, I mean, I heard it. I heard it by Wynonna Judd, you know, CMT videos he was watching late at night. He'd heard the song, and he said, now I found it. It's this Mercy Me group, if you can believe. He goes, and I am playing it all day long. He said, I get it about God. I finally get it. And I was just like, already tears are just forming in my eyes. Like, what? I checked caller ID again just to make sure it's my brother. And he said, yeah, I get it. He said, one day I want to dance before Jesus. I don't want to lose that chance. I don't want to miss this. He said, can I go to church with you this Sunday? And I was just overwhelmed. I couldn't wait to find you and tell you, because I know, you know, so you and I by then had prayed hours and hours and hours and hours for you.
And it was still one of those, what?
What? Yeah, I know. Yeah. We shouldn't be surprised when God works a miracle. But
I know you pray for
like,
it, but we're
what?
Still like, what?
How did this happen?
He wants to go to church.
So he came to church, and that went on for like, I think, 5-6 weeks, where every week he was there. He'd sit in the front, hands raised, worshiping, learning songs, you know, for the first time that he'd never sung before, and just falling in love with Jesus, with his word. It was so beautiful. I remember one day we came in late, a little bit, maybe 5 minutes late. People were already standing and singing, and we had all the boys, like, early soccer game or something that Sunday, and they were in muddy knees and shin guards. We came in, we're just going to sit in the back, not make a scene. But Dave was standing out in the aisle, and he was looking for us, and he saw us. He saw we made eye contact, and so I walked down the aisle, and people were all, you know, caught up in there in the worship. They weren't seeing us. Dave steps out in the aisle, and I reached him, and he just wrapped me up in a big hug. And, you know, Dave could say more with a hug than I could say with 100,000 words. Mm-hmm. I could write a whole book and not say what Dave would say with that hug. And he held me, and he whispered down by my ear, because he's so tall. He whispered, he said, "Karen, thank you for not giving up on me." Mm-hmm. And all I could think was, well, I've been given that grace first by Jesus, obviously, but by you. You, Donald, that you would forgive me for breaking that precious Bible. I mean, I, if that was our kids right now dating somebody, we'd be like, absolutely
out.
No way. Maybe we'd have grace because we got grace, but it doesn't, it was stretch, you know? And I just hugged him and I said, you know, "Dave, I love you and I'm so glad that you're here." So it was this unforgettable moment. And, you know, 3 days later, God took Dave home.
Yes.
Died in him. He was 39 and died in his sleep. He had just one opioid pill in his system, but it was just one too many. And he just died in his sleep. And at first I was so upset. I was so hurt because I thought, Lord, I just got my brother. Like, this guy, I've been afraid of him all my life. I've never had a brother I could call a friend, and now I do. And I thought he was just starting to live. And again, just the whisper of God saying, he was, he is, just not the way you expected.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Now he's dancing before Jesus.
Exactly.
Just kind of
now he doesn't have to only imagine.
That's
now
right.
He knows.
Exactly. Well, you didn't give up on me. I didn't give up on Dave. And I'll tell you what, Jesus is not giving up on you. You who are listening to this, you might be tempted to give up on somebody that you love, someone in the cast of characters in the story of your life. But don't give up on them. God is with you. He'll help you to know how to love and what to say and when to say it and when to back up and when to lean in. Those characters in the story of your life are there on purpose. Now, next week, we are going to talk about the rest of our journey, the beginning of our journey, how we found a church and how we got married and how we lived in the most wonderful dwelling. We got to live in a garage. What that was like, and of course...
And what your dad thought about that. Wow. Bury my daughter, crazy. You're all going to live in a garage.
Oh, it was wild. Well, we're going to go ahead and close by praying, and just what an exciting thing to be able to have this podcast, to be able to chat together, to be able to have mm-hmm. guests that will come along and share the adventure of telling my story, the one I haven't told before. So thank you for being my very first guest.
You're welcome, and thank you for sharing.
Would you close us in prayer?
I would love to.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all the gifts we have. Lord, put in our hearts those people that are in our lives. Sometimes the people in our lives, they are hard to talk to, but help us never to give up. Help us to pray and pray and pray and let your will be done in those situations. Mm-hmm. We love you so much. We look for those divine appointments today. And we thank you once again. It's in your powerful name, the name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Home should be a place where we feel at peace, where we can be ourselves, where we feel loved. For a lot of us, though, home is a place of heartache, hurt, and loneliness. As believers, Christ promises us an eternal home. But what does that actually look like? And how do we deal with our current homesickness? I recently wrote a Bible study called Come Home for Women, and I'm so excited that Come Home will also be available for teen girls. It's perfect for small groups, helps girls answer important questions, and gives us a richer understanding of what kind of home God's building for us. The release date for Come Home for teen girls is August 1st, but you can pre-order it now at lifeway.com/comehome. Don't miss out on this opportunity to help girls belong and be loved. Again, you can pre-order it today at lifeway.com/comehome.